This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, this hour of Brock and Salk is brought to you by CHI Franciscan Health. How about that? Nice having you guys around. Nice to have you guys with us. I'm glad Viadum was not as bad as it was expected. Hopefully all of the warnings were what helped and what moved people to different times of the day or to work from home or whatever. Just be careful. You don't want everyone to all of a sudden, oh, see, there's no problem. Then they all come back, all right. And the next thing you know, there's no way to get to work tomorrow. So we'll see. We'll see how this goes.
Well, here's what I want to see. I want to see this text show with the same rage and furor it's had for the first 2 hours. Take it out on these callers, too. So we got nearly full phone lines. Looks like one phone line's open.
All right, it's sort of your question. So why don't you lead into this a little bit? This is really your question.
Well, we all got to watch, right? We all got to evaluate. And Coach Carroll and crew, they tuned in. They watched the Rams play this weekend. Everybody did. And obviously, when you watch anybody play, you're going to compare it and contrast it to your own team. And what did he like? As you sat there and watched, do you want these Seahawks to resemble and take pieces of this and that? Do you want them to be the Patriots? You want them to get a little bit smarter? I thought this year they took steps, Mike, especially defensively, where they morphed more week to week. And Coach Carroll even admitted it after that Kansas City game. Said, you know, we played this one differently. Like, we played it like Balboa on the ropes. So we knew we were going to give up some yards. But in order to win, we had to play the game this way. They never did that 5 or 6 years ago. We are who we are. We're going to play the game the way we play. You're going to have to deal with us. And this year was a little bit more of that manipulation. So as you watch these games this weekend, and you know what the Seahawks were, a 10-win team and a playoff team this year, what more you want? Who do you want them to resemble? Who do you want them to take some pieces of moving this game forward and them evolving into the 2019 season?
And what was your answer?
My answer is I want them to be a lot more of who they are with a little more innovation. I want more screen game. I want more diversity in their run game. I don't want them to deviate. You extended Pete Carroll and John Schneider for a reason, because you believe in them. You believe in them developing people. You believe in bringing out the best ball. I love the fact, and it never gets love, that they were historical, as Schottenheimer said, in their turnover ratio. Well, that's a big part of why they won 10, 11 games. They protect the football. They put a ton of value into that. You know, that's immense for them, and thus they're in every single game, even in a retool year. So I don't want a wholesale change. On my little poll, I would have voted E. I don't want them to have to resemble any of these teams. I want them to keep doing it the way they're doing it, with just a little bit more innovation offensively.
If you have to choose?
If I had to choose, probably the Saints. You know, I think the Saints play some quality defense. You know, I think, you know, obviously Russell's a guy that adores, you know, a Drew Brees and his just efficiency, but they also run the ball. They got two running backs. They actually have a fullback. They have tight ends. They have Taysom Hill. That's a wild card fullback, H-back, tight end. Like, they do some innovative steps that, you know, I think this offense can continue to evolve their game in. Mm. So that would probably be the one I lean on a little bit more than anybody else. I don't want to spend and have these superstars and be the L.A. Rams, play all this man crazy blitz defense and get gashed and, you know, kind of go back and forth and up and down emotionally. You know, the Patriots are just not who you are. And I think your point was excellent to start the show.
They're not who anybody is.
No.
Good luck.
Yep.
And believe me, teams have tried. Organizations have tried to become like the Patriots for two decades. Romeo Crennel, nope. Eric Mangini, nope.
Charlie
Bill
Weiss.
O'Brien, nope. Charlie Weiss, nope. Now we're seeing Matt Patricia, nope. I mean, I'm sure there's some others in there that I'm missing, but this has not been an effective strategy. Josh McDaniels, nope. Don't just grab a Bill Belichick guy and think you're going to be able to morph week to week from Belichick.
And also,
it doesn't work.
And also their management people.
Right.
Right? I mean, they've taken their GMs and their presidents.
Yeah, now Dimitroff has had some success. Scott Pioli had very little, but some.
Mm-hmm.
So we have seen a little bit more success from that group. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, it just has not been effective to try to imitate the style that has made the Patriots effective, or the changing styles that have made the Patriots effective here for two decades. 206-421-3776. Grab Chet, who's in Ellensburg. Hi, Chet. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Chet, are you first time caller?
No, my name's actually Chet. Not a first time caller.
Oh, great. Okay, Chet, Jeff, Jess. No worries. Bring it. What you got?
Well, now I'm just going to sound like I'm echoing you, Brock, but I think there's a lot to be said about that 538 article that came out end of last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would like to see them just evolve who they currently are, stay themselves, but, you know, gain a little creativity and maybe lose some of the predictability think this past season when they went run pass, they converted a first down 41% of the time. Whereas if they went pass run, it was in the 80s. So I still think you can be a run heavy, you know, plus 50% of the time. But there just needs to be a little more creativity. I could see them pulling some things from what, you know, the Rams do. A little more motion, fly sweep type of action that stretches the defense out a little more and opens up the inside. But, you know, for the most part, I'd just like to see them be themselves and evolve and be creative with what they're doing.
Yeah, I think that is all very fair. And you will hear me, I think, on these airways, hopefully next September, if this station will have me back, talking about that and holding them accountable if they're not. If this is just the same thing and they're running the same plays and they're doing the same operation and we do not see more wrinkles. And as Schottenheimer said, heck, I don't have an off season now where I'm looking at other tape. I'm looking at my own tape with my own guys, with our own plans, and realizing a little bit more of what we can and cannot do and grow and evolve in some of that.
Does that change personnel for you? Does that affect the way you go after personnel?
Yeah, I love a fullback, man. I would love a fullback at all costs. You're going to get Will Dissly back. I think that's going to be a huge, hopefully, he comes back off of his patella injury.
If that's what it means, I'm there with you. And I think you can probably find a fullback, or at least they should. Somebody who can add a little bit more than Trey Madden did. But I certainly hope this doesn't lead to them getting outside their comfort zone, because we've seen that before. Oh, this offense is good, but you know what it needs? Needs a big, tall tight end who can be a target. And if Russell just had that, then everything moves to the next level.
No.
Careful what you wish for.
Yep.
Because I still believe that the most damaging thing this team has done to themselves over the course of the last 5 or 6 years was signing and trading for Jimmy Graham. I think it did enormous damage to them, and not because he's a bad player, but just because of the fit and what it did to their offense.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy's a really good player and played well while he was here, so it's not a shot at Jimmy Graham. But he didn't fit. He took them away from the identity that they had established, made their offensive block or their zone, their blocking worse, and didn't add enough in the passing game to make up for what he had done to the identity. So I sure hope it doesn't change a lot of what you do personnel-wise.
Nearly full phone lines here. Do you want a two-minute quick story on this, or do you want to hit a bunch of these calls?
Because no, I want your story. Then I want to hit the call.
Okay, well, I started, 3 years, or my career, I didn't start, but I played for 3 years in Seattle, and then I got traded for a fifth rounder to Indianapolis, and I spent 2 years there in Indianapolis, and I came back ultimately for my sixth and final year and spent it on the IR. But when I came back from Indy to Seattle with a lot of the familiar faces and names, and Coach Holmgren was there, and Coach Haskell and Jim Zorn was there, and Mike called me in his office and said, will you please take this play, put it on this whiteboard up here, and tell me everything you know about it. Because for the life of me, I cannot figure out how Peyton and Marvin Harrison throw this route 85 times. How Herman Moore shattered the all-time receptions record in Detroit running that play for Tom Moore. How Marvin Harrison shattered the record with Marvin Harrison running this play. Will you please tell me what this was called in every last detail of it? You know, dice right, scat right, why dig? Dice right, scat right, why dig was the name of the play. And it's a three receiver set. You got, you know, the little slot back, and flanker is off the ball with the tight end. Tight end arc releases outside. He runs a 15 yard in, and then the wide receiver runs a 5 yard in. That's it. And then the backside, you can call whatever you want, hook curl or in the back swing. So it's 1, 2, 3. That's it. I'm like, yeah, there's not a lot of magic to it, you know. Oh no. That's not possible. How do they run this against any coverage so often and get this done? You know, and I'm like, well, it's really, this is the concept. And you know, tight end arc release. I know that's a big deal. Okay, well, that's a big deal. Well, what about the route? How does the route, why does sometimes you run it at 3 and sometimes it's 6 and sometimes it's 5? And I said, well, there you go. That's the magic. Because Peyton and Marvin have run it 100,000 times. And when I came in and run it, and when Kerry Collins comes in and run it, and the other backups that came in and ran it, never looked like that. And we're never that effective. But we tried. For like, you know, a whole mini camp, we put in, and we put in our own terms, double right, two jet, you know, Z in, whatever it was. So we tried to do it, but we minored in it, and he didn't major in it. And Scott Frost said the same thing to me when he was at UCF. I said, everybody's trying to do chip stuff. He's like, they all minor in it, right? You can look at it and you could study it, but you still do not get your master's in it, which is what he had. And, you know, and Scott being there for a decade with him has a lot more of the inside and the nuts and bolts of it. So, you know, I don't want them to look at and spend a mini camp going, you know what, we're going to do this Ram stuff, this McVay stuff right here. And let's just do it exactly like they do, because you know what, he majors in it, and as best you can, you will only minor in it. And I just remember so vividly, you know, that story and that experience.
I think that's a really, first of all, it's a great story. And I've heard you use some of that story before, but not quite in this context. I really enjoy it. And I think it's 100%. I think you're right. The difference between committing to something fully and dabbling with it is enormous.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys really want the Seahawks to dabble? No. I think most of the people who want changes want real, hardcore, significant change. So they don't want to see Brian Schottenheimer adapt some of what other people are doing. They want to see a different offensive coordinator, a different scheme, or a different head coach. And you have to understand, that's what you're looking for. If you're in this camp of, well, I want to see the Seahawks look more like the Saints, or more like the Rams, or more like the Chiefs, you want a different head coach in an entirely different system here in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. What do I want to answer this question? Well, I'll get to the calls first. I'll give you mine in a few. 206-421-3776. Let's grab Kendall's in Santa Monica. Hi, Kendall. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Brock, that was an awesome story. Thanks for telling that. I think that actually contextualizes a lot of what we're talking about, which is that you can only be great at something that you practice, right? And practice is a function of time. So for me, when I was looking at the games this weekend, if there's one thing I would like us to incorporate a little bit of how the New England Patriots utilize their running backs in the passing game. We actually have some really good running backs, and I think if we could just focus on that for an off season to implement that as part of a playbook, I think it would help, because it'd give you some of those short yardage completions that could potentially break for big gains. And you'll need a couple different plays, at least from my vantage point, that might take the Hawks offense to an even higher level than they're at right
now. Then you're going to really like, thank you for the phone call, then you're going to really like some of the conversations, you know, I think we had after this offseason too, and what you will see, write it down right now. What are we at? January 14th, when we come back to OTAs and the minicamps, you can write this note down right now, because I can guarantee you it will be one of the stories written by somebody once we get to OTAs and minicamp, and that is, man, they're sure using Chris Carson in different ways. Man, they're sure incorporating him into more of the passing game. Man, look at him as a factor. Geesh, this is what the Rams do with Todd Gurley. Because in year number one here, I know it was year two, but it was really year number one of Carson to play almost the entirety of a season for the first time in his life. They were not going to burden him and ask him. And frankly, he wasn't comfortable doing a bunch of those other things in two-minute drill. And so, you know, they put it all together. They pieced it together. But Kendall, trust me. They are going to want to get their most dynamic offensive player at 230 pounds the ball in a variety of ways, doing just what the Patriots
do. It's funny. I know this is a conversation here about offense, because that's really the identity of the four teams that are playing, or certainly three of them. I kind of want Pete Carroll and Brian Schottenheimer, certainly Schottenheimer, to turn off the television and not watch. This is not a deal. The Seahawks need to get better on defense, not on offense. The Seahawks' problems this year, when they occurred, were defensive, not offensive. I know that they went through some tough moments offensively where they would have, you know, some stretches of three and out, especially early in the game, and that happens. I don't have a problem with that necessarily. I got a problem with their defense at times being gashed in big spots. What happened to Philadelphia yesterday? Why did they lose that game? I thought offensively Philadelphia was okay. I know they threw a bad pick, and by the way, that happens when you throw the ball as much as you have to, because they got put into that spot.
Mm-hmm.
But really what happened, they kept giving up third and long. They gave up third and 10, third and 12, third and 15. They gave up a first and 20 on the second play. I mean, they got gashed defensively, especially after Fletcher Cox went out. Get better on defense.
I think if you're a stat person, too, and you buy into, you use DVOA is probably the most commonly used. I think their offense was eighth in efficiency, and defense was 14th.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the Seahawks?
Seahawks.
Yeah, they were better offensively. Season. I mean, and by regular. The way, I don't need stats to tell me that. I watched the games, and I know that their offense was better than their defense. I know based on how I felt when each of those two squads had the ball at the end of the game.
So
when their offense had the ball at the end of the game, it felt great. Russell's going to go down, score, and win.
So these
when
four
their defense
teams,
had to stop them, how did you feel? I felt like, yeesh, I don't know.
Correct.
Hopefully Frank Clark gets a good pass rush and Jaron Reed does something up the middle, because otherwise there's a good chance they're going to get gashed at the end of this thing. And they beat those odds a few times, and a credit to them what they did against especially Kansas City and Minnesota. But where do the Seahawks need to get better? What do I want them to be? I want them to be the 2013 and 14 Seahawks that crushed your soul. They need a big-time hitter in the secondary. They need somebody who can go sideline to sideline and pick balls off the way Earl Thomas used to do. They need pass rushers that can come in waves the way they did in 2013 and 14. And they've got to get those through young players and smart picks in free agency.
Yeah, I think a fair question to that, though, Mike, and we raised this earlier, is can you still do that today? You see the scoring, the top scoring defenses every year
from
those Seahawks teams in
2013. He asked the same question after 2007. Yes.
But you could hit the quarterback a little bit. You could land on the quarterback in 2012 and 2013, right? You could use your hands a little bit more on the outside.
You could not use your hands anymore on the outside. That's not true.
You were given a little bit more liberty and freedom, especially at the line of scrimmage. And you especially could still punish quarterbacks when you got home. Can't do that today.
The only real significant difference from my view is what you can do to quarterbacks from 2014. The big change in defense came more in 2006, 2007, around that area, when maybe it was 2005, when the league basically got rid of a lot of the hand fighting the defensive corners were able to do down the field. Since then, I think it's basically been the same. They've called it tight, and the Seahawks played in an era where they couldn't have all the big hits across the middle. Cam Chancellor had to do it clean, mm-hmm. where you weren't allowed to hit defenseless receivers and where you weren't allowed to hand fight, and they still managed to succeed.
You know, it's interesting. I was reading last night that, to Lydia's point about this DVOA, and what does that stand for? The
defense adjusted value above average.
There you go. And the Seahawks were number 8, as she said, offensively. Number 8.
Nine, sorry, I got that wrong. 9 and 14.
Okay, 9 and 14. So they're top 10 on offense. So they're number 9 on offense. These four teams that are left all rank in the top 5. So that is where I think a lot of the staff folks are saying, hey, this is where this league is going. This is where this game is going. If the Seahawks could be number 9 with the 14th defense, what is that Seahawk offense if they get a few takeaways? What is that Seahawk offense if they get more possession? What is that Seahawk offense?
We saw what it was. We saw in those games they were great.
Phenomenal.
They were really, really good.
So do they climb into the – I mean, the fact that they were 9th in this run-heavy, number one rushing offense.
Because so many of the conversations about what the Seahawks offense is ignore the explosive plays that they have.
Correct.
Because that's not part of the narrative. What do the Seahawks do? Oh, they run it. Well, that's not entirely true. They absolutely run the ball a lot, but the other part of the Seahawks offense is the explosive passing game, is the deep balls down the field that, by the way, not many teams take nearly as many shots as the Seahawks do.
Mm-mm.
Pete Carroll is not this is not watching Bart Starr just matriculate the ball, or who is it, Hank Stram, matriculate the ball down the field, which is his famous line. They do some of that. They absolutely want to pound the ball, but they also want to take their deep shots. I don't know. I think we get in trouble in the NFL reacting to a couple of games. Okay, so Philadelphia beat Chicago, which meant that arguably the best defense in the game didn't get a chance to advance.
Mm-hmm.
Was Philadelphia better than Chicago?
No.
Let's just say it. They weren't.
Nope.
Chicago missed a kick at the end of the game. Credit to Philadelphia. They won that game, and on that day, they were better. Was Philadelphia a better team? Do you learn more about the Eagles or the Bears? Could the Bears have given somebody a better game this weekend than maybe the Eagles could? Yeah, I think maybe they could have. What if we had seen Bears-Rams, which would have been a possibility? You don't think that maybe the Bears would have done a better job against that high-touted offense than the Cowboys did? I think they would have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And they still have Mitchell Trubisky as a quarterback, who I don't trust as far as I could throw.
Mm-hmm.
But because of that kick getting blocked, we ended up getting a different view of who the best teams were. I think it's and I'm not saying the Eagles don't deserve to be there. They do. I'm just saying it's dangerous to start drawing conclusions from it. That's all. 206-421-3776. How about Jordan, who's in Bonnie Lake? Hi, Jordan. Good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing good, man. You?
Pretty good.
All right. What you got? What you got for us this morning? Because the text toy is angry, so you better bring it.
I just really believe that Chris Carson needs to be used more. Like, I feel like we need to isolate him more, like get him the ball in space and let him do his thing and not just run inside zone 80% of the time he gets the ball.
I think that's very fair, Jordan. We just talked about that. There will be more with him.
Mm.
But they were not going to do that this season. And I think a big part of that was Chris wasn't comfortable doing all of that this season, too.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that you sort of forget about is the player has to be willing and feel comfortable in all of those different parts of the job. 206-421-3776, Lawrence, in University Place, the center of it all. Hi, Lawrence. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. So I think my biggest feedback is something that I want our team to morph into. I mean, I know Brock kind of hit it, but with especially, I think us morphing into the Saints a little bit in terms of how we balance our passing and our rushing. You know, I know we were number one in the NFL in terms of rushing, but I think being able to utilize Russell more, utilizing not just the deep balls, but, you know, a lot more passing. And the other thing I think that we could really work on is another defensive end on the opposite side of Frank Clark, I think would be a huge benefit to our team. And I think would really make us dangerous and similar to our 2013 team.
Lawrence, did you feel far away as you watched those games, as you watched this weekend, and if the Seahawks were out there, were you like, oh, man, Seahawks could have won any of these games, or, boy, there's still a long ways to go?
You know, honestly, I think we could have won the game against the Rams. You know, I think we played them twice. We know who they are because they're in our division. And, you know, we played them really good throughout the season. So I think we're getting there. I think 2019 is going to be a really good season. I think we're going to go farther than we did this year.
Thanks, Lawrence. How about you, Saul? As you watch those, as you sit there and think, geez, yeah, the Seahawks really do. While it's really been hard to imagine them going to L.A. and winning, or going to New Orleans and winning, and going all the way on this run of three straight road playoff wins and all of that, especially against those foes, individually watching those games, there wasn't a time where I'm like, oh, yeah, you're just not going to be able to compete with those. You know, you need the unlike 2009 or 2010,
right,
or when this thing started, even that 7-9 team, right? That first version 1.0.
I don't know that I felt, oh, they're way far away, but I didn't feel like they would have beaten any of those teams this weekend either.
It wasn't like 2012 when they lost in the final seconds to Atlanta, and you're like, man, if they could have gone to San Francisco.
No, I didn't have that thought, because I just don't think their defense was good enough.
Yep.
At the end of it, I just don't know that. I think the Rams would have been their best shot, just because they played them twice already. We've seen how these things go, right? The Saints destroy the Eagles early in the year, and then the Eagles have a plan for them. I know the Saints ended up winning, but it was a completely different game. We've seen the way some of those things can turn around, even just after a few weeks of getting a chance to see each other again. And I think they would have had a pretty good shot down in L.A. to maybe beat the Rams. I don't know whether they could have beaten the Rams and Saints on back-to-back weekends.
Correct.
I don't know whether they would have had a shot. If New England plays the way they did this past weekend, I don't think anybody has a shot. And I think that, you know, to beat Kansas City in their building, I think would have been a challenge for the Hawks.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think going on the road, what it does to take away from your defense. I did not come away as mad, because I don't know that this is a Super Bowl
just
team.
Not enough pieces.
Yeah.
Not quite enough.
It's
in the secondary,
enough.
In the coverage, that extra rusher, as Lawrence talked about. Just some of those things. You know, I hope Bob, and I know he's a little
bit
under the weather.
But I think they might be a safety and a defensive end away.
Yeah, they're not 10 pieces away.
No, they're two, maybe three. And if you had an elite, I mean, look, you need to add elite-level talent. That doesn't just grow on trees. You don't just, hey, let's just grab an elite-level safety and we're good to go. Not everybody has a Derwin James you can just add.
Yep.
So you know, I'm not saying that next year you add that elite piece and poof, you're in the Super Bowl. But I think they're really only a couple of pieces away from that level of success.
You know what I would not have wanted to see, which would have happened to the Rams, is all those plays over the middle of the field wide open. And I know Bob's a little bit under the weather, and that was his question for me time and again this season. Like, why is the middle of the field open? Why are they running these in-cuts? Why is everybody – well, if you watched all the games, Bob, that's an area and a void that sure seems like a lot of teams are attacking.
Hey, the phone line's still jammed here. Looks like we got one line open if you want to jump aboard. 206-421-3776. As you watched all this weekend and saw those four games, was there something that stood out and made you say, gosh, I wish the Seahawks would do more of that? We'll answer a lot more of your questions, calls, and thoughts next here on Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio,
this is Brock and Salk.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com.
All right, Brock and Salk, this hour is brought to you by CHI Franciscan Health. I can get used to that. That's new here to the show this year.
Nice.
So try to get used to saying that, coming back here in the 9 o'clock hour. And thanks to you guys for jumping in and being a part of this thing, 206-421-3776. It's so great to have you guys here to correct each thing that we get wrong. I'm not even going to go through them, but thank you to everybody in the text toy for all that you do. You guys basically are Tony Reale's stat boy, and it's so nice to have you guys along for the journey.
Is that a new possible segment in
the
show, too?
No.
No?
No, I don't think so.
Right.
I think I'm all set. Let's see if we can grab some more of your calls and let you guys make mistakes instead of us. We'll grab Ezra, who is in Snohomish. Hi, Ezra. Good morning.
Hey, boys. How are you?
What's up?
Well, My opinion on the Seahawks, if they could figure out a way to start playing and scoring some points without waiting until the 2-minute warning or the fourth quarter, I think that makes the running game work. I mean, you're supposed to be the lead, play with the lead, pound the ball, and that's the way you win, not wait until the fourth quarter and having Russell try to pull miracles, you know, every single game is pretty frustrating.
So hold on just a second, Ezra, because I kind of like it, and you'll lead in a debate either today or through this week or over this offseason. This was the second highest scoring offense in the history of the franchise. And I think for the first time in years, they had a touchdown scoring drive on the opening drive, not once, not twice, not three times, but they did it a bunch. So how do you fit that in contextually with kind of what you're saying?
Well, to me, it didn't feel like that. I mean, it felt like we were constantly starting slow.
Okay.
And then constantly waiting, and then all of a sudden we start going. And then it seems like we just don't really kick it into gear until it is just the absolute last second. And then, you know, I've always thought that you get a lead, and then you pound the rock, and you wear them out, and then comes the fourth quarter. They're too worn out to even put up a fight anymore.
Yeah, Ezra, I think it's a good debate, man. I don't think there's an absolute here, although it sure feels that way, that some feel that way, Mike. And I think you and I will discuss this offseason. And, you know, we'll discuss it with Coach Carroll. And can you win a game in the first game? And you just watch this weekend, okay? Just watch this weekend. Kansas City jumps up 14-0. Yep. And all of a sudden, you make that team one-dimensional.
Yeah, three of the four games were won in the first quarter this
week. Yes.
Weekend. There's no doubt. The Patriots were, I mean, they'd already had them blown out by the end of the first quarter.
So can Russell take more risk? Can Pete take a little more risk?
Yeah, but
can
you know what? The other side aggressive? Of it is, and maybe this has to do with some of the construction, and I think this is why I think it requires a complete overhaul if that's really what you want to do. How many times do we talk about the advantage it gave to these offensive linemen to start off the game moving forward instead of backwards? How this team functions so much better with being aggressive in the run game and allowing these big maulers to get after you, unless you've got the kind of pass protection that is ideal, and I don't think they do, then I'm not sure that's your best strategy to scoring a whole bunch of points. You got to be balanced. This team managed to take a lot of deep shots down the field and was successful with explosive plays on a lot of them, in addition to what they were to do in the running game. I know it felt that way to Ezra. It didn't always feel that way to me.
Yeah, because Bruce Irvin was all over it. He was all over Twitter like, can you win a game in the first quarter?
Right.
After watching this weekend, after watching this weekend, Bruce like,
Heck yes.
Heck yes.
Heck yeah, you can. It's pretty rare. It doesn't happen all that often, although it sure did this weekend. Let's grab Brian, who's in Puyallup. Hi, Brian. Brian.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, we got you. It's close.
Hey, thanks for having me on this morning, Brock. I grew up watching you at Puyallup High School. Really enjoyed it. Hey, I'm calling in this morning because I think that if you're going to be a team that's going to say, We're gonna run the ball. We're gonna shove the ball down your throat every game, and we want everyone to know it. I think you have to continue to invest in the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
I think you gotta. We have some guys, some good players in place, but we don't. If one of them goes down, so this year when you get Fluker go down, it was like, what are we gonna put in place there to continue to be able to do this? And it seems that our whole passing game is centered around being able to run the ball. If we can't run the ball,
yeah,
and the passing game doesn't go as well.
Yeah, Brian,
have some depth. Yeah, have some backup.
I know I think that's a good point. I think, and this is not an excuse nor an explanation. I think it is simply reality. And you'll see it with these eight teams, and especially those like Cliff Kingsbury and crew that want to do it totally different. It's going to take them a little bit to get their personnel. You get a college team, Georgia Tech, right? Really good coach coming from Temple, a guy named Jeff Collins, going to come to Georgia Tech. You know what? He's not running the triple option. You know what he has on board? The triple option. You know what Coach Solari inherited? Ethan Posick, who's a center in his system, maybe. Joey Hunt, who's an undersized guy that gets to the second level. What they inherited up front, as far as some of that depth went, were not necessarily pieces. Now, Jordan Simmons did a great job. Mm-hmm. They found him on the scrap heap. But I think you'll see a different commitment, size, strength, power up front than we did in the past.
Grab our guy Kyle's in Port Orchard. Good morning, Kyle. What do you think?
Brock, I owe you an explanation for that show last Friday, man. You gave me a really good build-up there about how I was coming after Kendall and just set it right up on a tee for me, but I didn't hear a word of it when calling in for the screening process. So, you know, I called in and Kyle asked me name and location, and I answer, and he's like, oh, hold on, man. And you know, I had no idea what was going on there.
So. Kyle, you're a top fiver. You don't have to apologize. Just yeah.
Yeah, but you also got to be able to read and react to the situation. I mean, that's part, you know, if you want to be top five and really climb into the top two, read and react is important.
So what you don't know, Kyle, right now you're being broadcast on all three stations, Cairo, KTTH, and right here. So you better bring it. Like, what if, well, what if I did that to you right now?
Are you what I want here for the Seahawks is, first of all, I love their approach, okay? So I don't want them to change to anybody else. I just want them to become more versatile in their run game. I think when you look at the Rams and the Chiefs, the constant motion that they do with their wide receivers and the threat that that has, it forces the defense to honor that, and then they have to really commit to trying to set the edge, which opens up the running lane in between the tackles. And so I think that's kind of to your point about establishing the line of scrimmage. And so, but if there was one thing that I would choose from those four teams, I would say just the way that New England utilizes their running backs. I'd like to see more of that because I think we have a really dynamic running back group and they can do a better job of getting the ball out to their hands in space and let them make plays. But overall, I just want a more versatile run game so that teams can't just cue in on that inside zone basically all day long.
So here's what I don't want, Kyle. I don't want just a little cookie cutter, though. I don't want a, hey, let's steal this. Hey, let's be a little copycatter. Right? I told the story earlier, trying to copycat, you know, dice right, scat right, why dig, and put it in your own terms, in your own language. The Rams do all of that, but then what? Everything they do is built off of that. Right, this is not just a piecemeal. I can just take this piece of this little jet sweep in this motion. Well, then there comes their play action, and they live in it. 96% of the time, the Rams are in the same personnel grouping. That is what they do. They major in it. They got a doctorate in it. They got a PhD. That is what they do. So be very careful because there will be a ton. There will be a lot of teams that say, ooh, let me do this. Let's take this little motion here. Let's take this little, and they just take a piece of it. But when it's just a piece, it's not the whole pie. And they've got the whole pie going there, and it's been pretty successful for them.
Yeah, I think that's a really wise thing, and that's going to stick with me. You know, every once in a while, you have one of these big revelations that sticks with me for a while.
Right.
This is going to be one that sticks with me. I like this whole majoring and minoring thing.
You like that?
Yeah, no, it definitely plays to my sensibility. I like it. It's one of my favorite things I've heard from you in
a
while.
Don't be nice to me.
I'm not.
The text's always being mean to us.
Dude, I'm not being nice just for the sake of being nice. You know I wouldn't do that, do you?
That's true.
If I didn't feel like being nice, I wouldn't be. I think it was a really good point. Steve's the Dallas dude. Steve, I'm sorry. You're both your teams are out now. I'm sorry, dude.
Hey, man. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So, yeah, you know, it's football season's over. It's going to be hard to deal with, but I think both teams have a lot to look forward to. So, as long as they rebuild on these offensive lines and keep that running game going, I think things will be all right for Seattle.
Yeah, you know what? Their offensive line is something they could certainly add to. You know what I'd rather see them add to is their defensive line and their secondary and maybe even their linebacker. I mean, look, the Seahawks defense is what needs to grow. It's not the offense. The offense will be fine. I really think it will be. Yeah, I mean, you're going to need to continue to add guards. Your tackles aren't going anywhere, at least for a little bit. You're going to need to either bring back the guard you had at slightly more money or bring in some guys who can play that same role. Okay. And yeah, maybe later in the draft. Yeah, okay, yes. Of course, offensive line is always going to be paramount for them. But they got to get their defensive line and their whole defense better. They need better pass rush coming off the edge. They need to be better in the secondary. They need safeties who are going to take the ball away or somebody to pair with Bradley McDougal who can do that and go sideline to sideline or a big hitter. They need one or the other in addition to some cornerbacks that either grow in the system or come in new.
Okay, we'll keep it simple. During the break, you're going to put, if you don't mind, on your Twitter, compose a little tweet there. And just a very simple question. This offseason, would you rather have the Seahawks employ more resources offensively or defensively? And I'll be very curious because I think there's probably a decent argument to be made for both. Certainly the stat community wants a whole lot more offense, you know, wants more receivers. You need more than two receivers, Mike. You know, you need.
I don't think they do. I think they just want them to change the scheme with the players they have. I honestly don't think that the stats community is out there looking for them to go trade for Brandon Cooks like the Rams did. I think they just want them to use the same personnel they have in a completely different way. That's my understanding. I'm sure if I'm wrong, they'll find a way to call us out. In any event, thanks for all the phone calls. We'll get back to some of that tomorrow, and I'll put that tweet out there as a poll.
Don't get gunshot on me over there.
I'm not.
Don't get gunshot with that text toy.
Who's getting gunshot?
I'm about
to let the text toy take over. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. It's Answer the Question, Jerk. We do it at the end of every show, and we'll do it next. I'm Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk's
Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
All right, time to answer your questions as we do at the end of every single show. Yeah, some early voting here. On which side of the ball should the Seahawks expend more resources this offseason? Early voting, about 75-25 in favor of the defense.
Nice.
75-25. We'll discuss that a little bit more depth tomorrow. In the meantime, try to answer some of your questions. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Still time to get them in because this crop is there's some good ones, but it's small. Jerks, I know this sounds crazy, but is the Mariners lineup better than last year? No. Probably not.
No.
But that's not really the point. The lineup might be similar.
It's your pitching staff.
It's the pitching staff. It's not in the same ballpark.
Give me 3-4-5 in the lineup right now.
3-4-5?
Yeah.
Is going to be Haniger, Encarnacion, and Seager. It's not that different from last year, especially when Robbie was out. Right? I mean, Encarnacion is not that different from Nelson Cruz. I'd rather have Nelly, but it's not that different. Seager's the same person. Hopefully he'll be better. And Haniger was there last year. So 3-4-5 is not like the crazy completely different.
Aren't Haniger's numbers a little bit different, though, when he was batting leadoff versus batting third? So
yes,
we'll see.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of things that are problematic.
Who hits second, you think? Malik's behind D, or is Malik's nine?
I think Malik's going to lead off.
Where's D at the bottom?
I think D's hitting ninth.
Okay.
Well, see, feels like taking a walk now and again.
Who's your number two hitter right now?
I don't know. They got that other kid who's got some pop from Milwaukee. So who the heck knows, man? Their lineup isn't going to be the problem, though. I think they'll score a normal amount of runs. They're not going to be a powerhouse lineup.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, can they pitch at all? No ace.
DePoto said your closer isn't even on staff yet.
Right. I mean, no ace, arguably really no number two. I mean,
Here's one projection from Roster Resource. Malik Smith batting leadoff. Mitch, Jay Bruce, Edwin Encarnacion, Kyle Seager, Domingo Santana, Omar Navarez, Tim Beckham, and D. Gordon.
I kind of forgot about Jay Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can say that. That's not like the worst lineup you've ever heard.
What, 75 and a half? 74 and a half? 75 and a half? Most of the projections.
Your lineup will be exactly lefty, righty, lefty, righty, lefty, righty.
Yeah, I think they'll hit a little bit, but, you know, what's the projection on that rotation?
Rotation will be lefty, 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 lefty.
Yeah.
Mike Lee.
Jerks, who coined the term text toy? Was it Calabro? Of course it was. Who else would have coined the term text toy?
Yeah.
That's Calabro to a T.
Yeah.
Yes. Jerks. My wife and I just got done watching all 8 Harry Potter movies over a couple of weeks. Would you rather binge a great TV show and series or a great series of movies?
TV show. I love binging TV shows.
The thing is, there are very few great movie series.
Correct.
There's a lot of great movies. There's some great sequels. And the longer you go down most movie series, the worse they get. Until eventually they're trash.
Except Rocky.
Yeah, I mean, Rocky's unique because the series took an abrupt left turn. Right?
Rocky 1, solid.
Rocky 1 won Best Picture.
Rocky 3, Rocky 4, incredible.
But in a completely different way from the way Rocky 1 is good.
Ended the Cold War in many ways, in some people's estimation.
Creed has taken on a whole other
iteration. Rocky 5, horrible. Creed, excellent. Creed 2,
okay. Haven't seen it yet. Looking forward to that, though.
Good.
Jerks, today is National Clean Off Your Desk Day. Who has the messiest desk at 710?
I do.
I was going to say there's really no messy desks, but good for you, Hattie.
I do. I have the messiest desk.
No one has an exceptionally messy desk. Hattie's got some clutter. Jess, if given enough time, will occasionally develop some clutter, but then she goes through like a big cleaning. I'm sort of the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't have desks, though.
Correct.
No desks.
We share a lot of space.
We all share like this extended bench.
We share space.
Yep.
And Hattie's, to his credit, it's mostly like his awards. You
right.
know, like sometimes you just have a lot of awards and you don't have everywhere
trophies,
to put them.
It's a great point, Lydia.
Certificates.
Yep. He's got his howdy thing there. What does that thing say? Howdy.
It says howdy.
Yeah. Gotta happen.
Lots of certificates of participation and achievement, no question.
Of the four teams left, which one has the best eats? So he's saying of the four cities left?
Ooh, okay. Think about this.
Let's examine. L.A.
No
Kansas City.
New Orleans. New England.
And New England.
Wow, you got barbecue, you got, like, Cajun, you've got... Oh, wow, this is tough.
I've been to three of the four.
I guess I've been to Kansas City, but briefly.
L.A. is going to have the most
variety
just because it's such a huge city and people have moved there from everywhere.
It's kind of New York light in that way, though. It's not like New York where the food is second to none.
Yeah, but, you know, if you like Mexican food, it's hard to beat L.A. I mean, you get really great
You got that Marcus Peters sound talking gumbo?
I don't have it on me here.
You didn't find it? Yeah. We didn't bleep that one well enough.
The answer's got to be New Orleans. New Orleans is one of the best eating cities in the country. You just don't like New Orleans.
Wait.
Nope. Random reasons. Issues with New Orleans are not because of the food. You don't like New Orleans because you're afraid of black magic or something. But New Orleans has great food.
Yeah.
Voodoo superstition.
It starts to just kind of be, give me Kansas City. Give me the barbecue.
The beignets?
They're okay.
Oh, my God. They're not good. Okay.
They're not like the ribs and the brisket in Kansas City, bro. Nope. Give me Kansas City.
You know, I haven't eaten enough in Kansas City to argue. You may be right. It's not Boston.
And we all got our own taste. That's just for me. It'd be Kansas City.
Boston has some really good food, but I don't think it's at the level of those other three.
Great Italian.
Yeah, they do have great Italian. That's true. They have the best Italian food of any of those four. Maybe, I don't know, man. I could go back and forth all
night. We have like an epic poll maybe later.
Might have to.
Next question.
I'll throw that one out there to go with the other poll that we put out. Jerks, what did you think of the opening of True Detective? I only watched the first one of the two. I thought it was great.
I'm looking forward to watching the next one.
It's not a spoiler, but it definitely went back much more to the vibe of season one than the vibe of season two. So everybody who loves season one, like certainly I did, I think we're going to be happy based on what I saw in the first episode.
Is it worth digging into? True Detective, what do you really
Did you not watch the first season? You have to watch the first season.
I don't know if Brock would like it. I don't know.
Who's in it?
We just talked about the
first
weird
season was McConaughey
black magic,
and Woody Harrelson.
Oh, is that like HBO?
Yes, it is like HBO.
No, I didn't know where the series was on. Yes. I didn't know if it was a network series.
Yeah, I don't think you
would like it.
It's good, so it's not
on the
networks.
I watched one of those episodes with that, and I was like, this is wacko. Yeah, too much for me.
It's a really good, smart, well-written, like expensive show to produce, and so it's not on a network.
Gotcha.
I don't understand.
That's a shot.
I took the shot on Twitter yesterday. I was watching these commercials in every football game. What in the world are the networks putting on?
Why are they showing that show Passage?
One show looks worse than the next. They all look incredibly cheap with terrible acting and worse writing.
Should be illegal.
And how many are just old shows now created? Party of Five. I just read Party of Five. There's a new Party of Five coming out, guys.
What's going on? The networks are the worst. Anyway. That's it. That's enough for today. We're going to get out of here.
You're right. Not a lot of quality, but strong quantity. I mean, not a lot of quantity, strong quality in those questions.
The eating question is a good one. Yeah, that was Troy in the 509.
Does Troy know how hungry we are right now?
Troy, I'm so hungry. How dare you? How dare you ask this question?
But I got some cashews and blueberries for my mid-morning snack.
We're up to 80-20 in voting.
Defense.
But it's the offense is the problem.
Defense.
All right, we're out of here for the day. We will be back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. We got some interesting plans for the rest of the week, which we'll try to include you in as they become official. Till tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., hey.
It's in the barn.
See everybody.
We'll just deal with every group and get some money. Let's get some money. Come on, hey.
Get to the chopper!